ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 22 वर्स नंबर 4। गौरवाद्यन्त्रै सभ्यः राष्ट्रयायानता कंदरः विधिवत् पूजयं चक्रे गृहीयाधार्याहनासनान् गौरवाद्यन्त्रितः सभ्यः प्राशयानतकन्धरः विधिवत् पूजयं चक्रे गृहीयाधार्याहनासनान् Word for word. Gauravat.
Gauravat.
Glories.
Glories.
Yantriteh.
Yantriteh.
Completely.
Completely.
Sabhyaha.
Sabhyaha.
Most civilized.
Most civilized.
Prashraya.
Prashraya.
By humbleness.
By humbleness.
Anatakandaraha.
Anatakandaraha.
Bowing down his shoulder.
Bowing down his shoulder.
Vidhivat.
Vidhivat.
According to the instructions of the Shastra.
According to the instructions of the Shastra.
Pujayam.
Pujayam.
By worshipping.
By worshipping.
Chakre.
Chakre.
Performed.
Performed.
Grihita.
Grihita.
Accepting.
Accepting.
Adi.
Adi.
Including.
Including.
Arhana.
Arhana.
Paraphernalia for reception.
Paraphernalia for reception.
Asanan.
Asanan.
Sitting place.
Sitting place.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the great sages accepted their reception according to the instructions of the Shastras and finally took their seat offered by the king, influenced by the glories of the sages, immediately bowed down. Thus he worshipped the four Kumaras. Purport: the four Kumaras are Parampara spiritual masters of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Out of the four Sampradayas, namely Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya and Rudra Sampradaya, the disciplic succession of spiritual master to disciple known as the Kumara Sampradaya is coming down from the four Kumaras. So Prithu Maharaj was very respectful to the Sampradaya Acharyas. As it is said by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrai, a spiritual master or the Parampara Acharya should be respected exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Vidhivat is significant in this verse. This means that Prithu Maharaj also strictly followed the injunctions of the Shastra in receiving a spiritual master or Acharya of the transcendental disciplic succession. Whenever an Acharya is seen, one should immediately bow down before him. Prithu Maharaj did this properly. Therefore, the words used here are Prashrayanatah Kandhara, out of humility, he bowed down before the Kumaras. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the four sampradayas. He has mentioned specifically how respect should be shown to the acharyas in the four sampradayas. And he gives the example of Maharaj Prithu, how he showed great respect and how he welcomed them and how he respected them when they arrived to meet him. So it is mentioned in the Padma Purana, Sampradaya Vihine Ye Mantraste Nishpala Mataha. Sampradaya Vihina. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions a Sampradaya Acharya. He doesn't mention any Acharya. So he says when an Acharya from a Sampradaya comes, you must show respect to him, because it's bona fide. It's coming from the Supreme Lord Himself. So in the same manner, in Padma Purana, it is also mentioned Sampradaya Vihine. So if there is an Acharya without a Sampradaya, and you take mantra from such a Sampradaya, it will have no effect. You can chant that mantra, but it will not have the effect of purifying your heart and of helping you to progress spiritually. Therefore, having a sampradaya is of great significance. And then, now, to be able to give the people of the world sampradaya, they all had to originate somewhere. So all these sampradayas that we see these days, which are some of them are not so popularly followed, but they were originally there to help us progress, pick up one spiritual path that attracts us, and then follow that sampradaya to be able to progress in spiritual life. So these sampradayas originally were all Vaishnava sampradayas. The sampradayas, the bona fide sampradayas, are all Vaishnava sampradayas in the sense that they all lead us to the bhakti or the worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And so it is verified by the scriptures. In Padma Purana itself, it is mentioned that Ata Kaleo Bhavishyanti, that in the future, in Kali Yuga, Chatvara Sampradayana, the four Sampradayas will come. And the names are given specifically, which Sampradaya? Shri Brahma Rudra Sanaka, Vaishnava Kshiti Pavana. So these four divine personalities will start sampradaya, and then these sampradayas will be Vaishnava sampradaya. It is specifically mentioned that they will be Vaishnava sampradayas. And it is also mentioned how and who will become the empowered personality to propagate these sampradayas. Chatvarasya kalau bhavya utkale purushottamat, which means that they will four will come in the age of Kali Yuga in the place called Utkal, which is none other than the Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, in the present day Jagannath Puri. And it is mentioned Ramanujam Shri Svi Chakre Madhvacharya Chaturmukhaha. So Ramanujacharya will be the one whom Lakshmi Devi will empower to propagate the glories of the Lord. And then Madhvacharya will be empowered by Chaturmukha, who is Lord Brahma. The four-headed Lord Brahma will empower Madhvacharya to propagate the glories of the Lord. Shri Vishnu Swami Namam Rudre Nimba Dita Chatusanaha. And the Vishnu Swami will be the leading Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya, and Nimbarkacharya will be the leading Acharya of the Chatusanaha, of the four Kumaras Sampradaya. So in this way, it is clearly predicted that the four sampradayas will be propagated by these four personalities in the age of Kali Yuga. That is why, and that is how we are able to follow them. For if they were not there, then it would not be able to, it will not be possible for the general masses to relate to a spiritual path. Because there are so many spiritual paths. Out of that, we are clearly given a distinction between the bona fide and the ones not bona fide. So the choice is for us to make. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has actually written a series of essays in which he has given a lot of detail about the four sampradayas. And in that, there is also mentioned the order of the sampradayas. So he mentions that Lakshmi Devi is the first one who inaugurated her sampradaya, and then Lord Brahma, followed by Rudra, and then Chatusna or the four Kumaras started their sampradaya. But the Acharyas, however, that are corresponding to the sampradayas did not necessarily appear in the same order. So the first Acharya to appear was Vishnu Swami, who was from the Rudra Sampradaya. The second one was Nimbarkaditya or Nimbarkacharya, who was from the Nimbarka Sampradaya or the Sampradaya of the four Kumaras. The third one was Ramanujacharya, and the fourth one was Madhvacharya, which is the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So it is also mentioned that these sampradayas were actually initiated long time ago. They have manifested now through the leading personalities who are propagating them, but they actually had started many thousands of years before. So it is mentioned that Lord Brahma was himself given the Vedic knowledge by Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan gave it to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma gave this, passed on this knowledge of Vedic injunctions and religious principles to Rudra, and then Rudra passed it on to Balakhilyas, who are considered the sages, and these sages then protected these religious principles for many thousands of years. And this was during the second Chakshusha birth of Brahma. So it is mentioned that Lord Brahma had seven births. So in the seven births, during the second birth of Chakshusha Brahma, that is the time when he was given the knowledge by Lord Narayan. And during his fifth birth, which is called the Nasatya birth, that time Sanat Kumaras, they got the knowledge on the religious principles from Lord Narayan. And this was at the beginning of Treta Yuga. So in this way, this is to emphasize the point that although these sampradayas became popular in the Kali Yuga, but they originated many thousands of years before. So since Vishnu Swami Acharya was the first one, so I'll just briefly talk about Vishnu Swami. So many thousands of years ago, around 300 BC, there was a king called Pandya Vijaya. And he was the king of Dravida Desh, which is the southernmost coast of India, so South India. There was a kingdom and he was ruling that kingdom. But what he observed was that in his kingdom, everybody was almost an atheist. Buddhism at that time was widespread and nobody was following the Vedic injunctions. People had rejected the Vedas and the religious principles mentioned in the Vedas. So then Pandya Vijaya, being a devotee of the Lord, being a Vaishnava, he was very concerned about spreading the Vaishnava Dharma, the Sanatana Dharma in his kingdom. So fortunately, he had a priest called Deveshwar, who was his priest, court priest. And he was also a devout devotee of Lord Vishnu. And King Pandya Vijaya used to take advice from him on all matters. So the two of them together, they embarked upon this mission of spreading Vaishnavism, of devotion to Vishnu or to Krishna in their kingdom. They both worked very hard and they preached the glories of Lord Vishnu. And slowly and slowly, their entire kingdom, they were able to spread Vaishnavism. And it is mentioned that King Pandya Vijaya also delivered the deities of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. Because Buddhism was so widespread at that time, the Buddhists had captured these deities and they had said that these deities are the deities of Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So then these kind of concoctions were going on and they even took Lord Jagannath from the Vaishnavas. But King Pandya Vijaya was so staunch in his devotion to the Lord that he actually got these deities back. And then his priest Deveshwar established them back in the Neelachal temple where we see them today. And then Deveshwar priest also established the worship, the proper worship that has to be run with proper Vedic principles. The worship was continued. So it is said that when the devotees of the Lord take extreme measures to spread his glories, then the Lord becomes very pleased and he wants to bless them. So Lord Purushottam became very pleased with Deveshwar and he blessed him with a son called Devatanu. And Devatanu was a very detached boy from early childhood. And he would only engage in activities that were in relationship with Lord Vishnu and nothing else interested him. Therefore, at a very early age, he took Tridandi Sannyas. Now it is mentioned that he was the first one to start this concept of Tridandi Sannyas from then onwards. And he was known as Vishnu Swami Acharya. So he was the one who then became the first Acharya, Vishnu Swami Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya. And then it is mentioned that he travelled far and wide to propagate Vaishnavism because Buddhism was very prevalent. And he travelled all over Bharatvarsha trying to spread Vaishnavism and religious principles and emphasis on Vedic principles. So it is Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also mentions in his essays that the present day Shankaracharya Sampradaya has got nothing to do with the original Sampradaya started by Acharya Vishnu Swami. Because that Sampradaya was essentially and very clearly a Vaishnava Sampradaya and they engaged in devotion to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Whereas Shankaracharya Sampradaya is more, it's Mayavad. They deny the beautiful form of Lord Vishnu. So in this way, Vishnu Swami, he travelled far and wide. And he was also concerned because the Buddhists were destroying the Vedic scriptures. So he was very carefully protecting the Brahma Sutras. And then later on, he also compiled a beautiful commentary on these Brahma Sutras called the Sarvajna Sutra. And in this Sarvajna Sutra, he mentions a lot of siddhantas of Vaishnavism, of the Vedic philosophy, and also beautiful glories of the Lord. Now, Vishnu Swami then initiated 700 Tridandi sannyasis, which means in his disciplic succession, you can track down to about 700 Tridandi sannyasis that lasted. Of course, he also initiated a lot of grihasthas and brahmacharis. So, for a very long time after him, his teachings were preached and propagated by his disciples and disciples of disciples in the disciplic succession. But then the last of in the chain were the Vyaseshwara. And when he left this planet, then this sampradaya, the teachings of Vishnu Swami almost became extinct. And then there were a lot of other controversies and a lot of deviations from the sampradayas took place. Then after many, many hundreds of years, another Vishnu Swami came. He was called the Rajagopala Vishnu Swami. And he was also extremely devout. And he was the one who actually established the deity of Lord Varadraj in Kanchipuram. And he used to worship the deity with a lot of love and reverence. He used to stay there in Kanchipuram. And then he had disciples. And then the propagation continued for many, many hundreds of years. And soon after that also became sort of extinct, or the teachings were lost and the people were again towards Mayavad and atheism. Then came the third Vishnu Swami called the Andhra Vishnu Swami. Then this Vishnu Swami again, he revived the bhakti movement. He again revived the principles of Vaishnavism. And Vallabhacharya, who is now known as the propagator of the Pushti Marg and the people in Gujarat follow him very with great reverence. He is actually the disciple of Vishnu, of the Andhra Vishnu Swami, or the third Vishnu Swami. Now, Vallabhacharya was a great devotee of the Lord, and he used to meditate on the baby form of the Lord. He was very attracted to the childhood pastimes of the Lord, and it is mentioned that he has written numerous poetries and bhajans in praise of the baby form of Krishna. And some of us already know the bhajan, adharam madhuram, vadanam madhuram. That is written by Vallabhacharya himself. And similar to this, he has written many other poems in which he has described the sweetness of the Lord's form. The Lord's lips are sweet, the Lord's eyes are so sweet, his movements are very sweet. His entire personality is sweetness personified. So these are the kind of poems that he used to write. And then Srila Sridhar Swami, who has, we all know, he has written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He also comes from the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. He was also the follower of Vallabhacharya. Now we know that Srila Sridhar Swami, Srila Prabhupada referred to his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam when he translated Srimad Bhagavatam for us. So Srila Sridhar Swami was a Tridandi Sannyasi in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and it is well known that after his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called the Bhavarth Deepika, it was then that Srimad Bhagavatam became very popular in the Bharatvarsha. So in the philosophy of Vishnu Swami Acharya, the sutras that he wrote called the Sarvajna Sutras, he mentions a lot of siddhantas, and we will see that how these siddhantas are actually very similar to the siddhantas in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, because essentially they are all Vaishnav Sampradayas, so they propagated the same siddhantas and the same philosophy. So, and Vishnu Swami had collected information from the Brahma Sutras, evidence was collected from different Brahma Sutras to provide evidence for different concepts that he mentioned in them. So for the living entity, he mentioned that the living entity or the jiva is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, to this, the critics have said that then, in that case, different incarnations of the Lord, such as the Matsya incarnation or the Kurma incarnation, or also the incarnations from the Lord, they're also expansions. So if the jiva is also part and parcel of the Lord, then they are on the same level. But then he explains that the jiva is very minute, whereas the incarnations from the Lord are as empowered as the Lord. And the Lord is like the fire, whereas the jiva is like the spark. Just as the fire has heat and light, the spark has heat and light. But the quantity is immensely different. For example, when we feeling cold and you want to alleviate that cold, then a spark will not do the job. You will need the proper fire to alleviate from that cold. So this is how he explains that the jiva and the Ishvara are qualitatively the same, but quantitatively there is an immense difference. And he also explains, he gives reference to Bhagavad Gita 15:7 in saying Mamev Amso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhut Sanatana, which means that the Lord Krishna himself proclaims that these jivas are my part and parcels. They are my fragmental parts. And jiva is Satchidananda because the Lord is Satchidananda. But because of being minute in our energy, inner powers, we become covered over by the material energy. And we are not able to experience the Satchidananda aspect that we have in us. Then Vishnu Swami Acharya has mentioned about the material world. He says that this material world is the energy of the Supreme Lord. And he says that since the Supreme Lord is eternal and factual, so also this material world is eternal and factual. Now to this, the critics have said that the material world is false because it becomes created and then it becomes destroyed. However, he explains that just because something is destroyed does not mean that it does not exist or it will not exist. So he gives the example of gold and ornaments. When the Supreme Lord or the Brahman is in the form of the gold, the ornaments are made out of the gold. So then they have a specific form and shape. And when they are melted, they go back into gold. So which means this material energy can be manifest and unmanifest. And then a further example is given that just like when a vulture is very high in the sky, we can't see them with the naked eye. Does that mean that it does not exist? So he says that there are some things that we cannot perceive with the material senses, in the sense that, for example, there are also stars in the sky, which we can see only at night, not during the day, because it's too bright and they are too small. And in the atoms, we cannot see the atoms and the particles of atoms with the naked eye. We cannot see the air with the naked eye. And he also explains that ghee is present in yogurt in its unmanifested form. But when the yogurt is churned, the ghee comes out. So he says that in this way, there are so many examples of how we can understand the cause and the effect. The pot is the effect, the clay is the cause. The form of the pot is manifested in the clay. But it becomes completely manifested when it is actually in its proper shape and it becomes more concrete. And then he also mentioned that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. So that when the critics had mentioned that when the transformation takes place, there is some fault that enters into the transformation, and then the Lord's energy does not remain as pure as the Lord. And due to the transformation, the Lord himself becomes impure. Now, he clearly explains that the Lord is the cause of all causes and he does not become affected by his own creations. He remains separate from his own creations. And this is similar to the Ishavashya principle that we study in Ishopanishad, where it is mentioned that millions and millions of expansions come out of the Supreme Lord, and yet he is all powerful. He does not become reduced because so many expansions have come out of him. In fact, his energies and his potencies are always expanding. They're ever expanding. In spite that so many incarnations and so many energies are coming out of him. And then Acharya Vishnu Swami has mentioned that the Supreme Lord is Satchidananda. And he says that the Supreme Lord is Satchidananda and he is the master of Maya or the spiritual energy. And in that sense then he is the controller. He is omniscient and he is omnipotent. So there is no one more powerful than him. But because the living entities are minuscule in size, then we tend to become overpowered by the influence of Maya. So in this way, he has given a lot of Siddhanta in his book, in which he mentions different, there's a lot of detail to this, but this is just a few examples to help us understand that although this is the Rudra Sampradaya, and Acharya Vishnu Swami is from this Sampradaya, but it is essentially a Vaishnava Sampradaya, and the teachings are not at all different from the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. So Adi Vishnu Swami, he was a worshipper of Lord Narsingadev, and he has written beautiful prayers in glorification of Lord Narsingadev. But unfortunately, there is no genuine follower, it is said, of his actual teachings of this Sampradaya found these days. So then moving on to the Nimbarka Sampradaya, the Sampradaya of the four Kumaras, which is what we are talking about in this chapter, that Prabhupada says that the four Kumaras have started a Sampradaya, and they are the Sampradaya Acharyas, and Maharaj Prithu very lovingly honors them and respects them. So it is mentioned that many, many thousands of years ago, there was a sage named Aruni. And this sage was also present when in the assembly of Maharaj Parikshit, when he was given instruction by Shukadev Goswami. So Aruni sage and his wife Jayanti Devi prayed to the Supreme Lord for a divine son. They performed austerities and they were asked, they had the desire to have a divine son. So then they were blessed with a beautiful son. He had effulgence, which indicated that he was not an ordinary child. So when he was a little boy, this boy went to Nandagram. He went to Nandagram to Vrindavan to take darshan of the Lord. And then he made a cottage near Govardhan Hill and he used to reside there and do bhajan. So it is mentioned that Nimbarkacharya used to spend most of his time in devotional service to the Lord in Hari Bhajan. And he also wrote commentaries on Brahma Sutra. Just like Vishnu Swami Acharya has written commentaries on Brahma Sutra, Nimbarkacharya has also written commentaries on Brahma Sutra. So one time there was this Jain priest. He came to Nimbarkacharya to have a debate with him. So when he was having a debate with Nimbarkacharya, Nimbarkacharya wanted to offer him some prasad that he should eat. But it was the time of the day when it was just after sunset. So since there is an injunction in the Jain Dharma that they should not eat after the sunset, so the Jain priest refused to eat prasadam. But Nimbarkacharya really wanted him to feed prasadam for his benefit. So it is said that he went on a neem tree because the sun had set, and he pulled the sun up. He requested the sun to come up. And the sun was shining again. And in this way, the Jain priest was able to honor prasad. So such was his potency. So it is also mentioned in another narration that he actually created, he called the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. And the brightness of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord is of course so great, it was so effulgent that the Jain priest took it to be the brightness of the sun and he honored prasadam. So that was the potency of Nimbark Acharya. And the name that he has is actually coming from this special pastime, that Nimba is the neem tree, because he climbed on top of the neem tree. And then he Arka means the sun, he called for the sun. Aditya also is a son. So his name is Nimbaditya or Nimbarka, which he got from the special pastime during that time of the debate. So it is mentioned that his philosophical siddhanta are based on a specific instruction that the four Kumaras gave him in the Prapathaka of Chandogya Upanishad. So these instructions were given to him by the four Kumaras, not directly, because the four Kumaras gave the instructions to Narad Muni, and Narad Muni, through disciplic succession, eventually the instructions were given to Nimbarkacharya. So he concentrated on the Prapathaka of Chandogya Upanishad, and then he preached the glories. And his principles are also the same. He also had the same philosophical points, that the living entity is the fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller. There is oneness and there is difference. There is oneness in the sense that qualitatively we are the same with the Supreme Lord, we have the same qualities, but there is difference in the sense that we do not have the same quantity, or the same, the quantitative strength is not the same. And he also mentions that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And it is ruled by the time factor in its past, present and future. Whereas in the spiritual world, the time factor does not affect and it does not translate into past, present and future. Now it is very hard for us to imagine how the time would be like, or how things can happen if there is no time factor. Because time drives us, it drives our daily activities. Every day, whatever we do, it is driven by the time. If it's night time, we're forced to rest. If it's morning time, we do our morning duties and we get back to our bhajan. So it is over there. There is no time factor. So he explains that in great detail how, without the time factor, the leela of the Lord is carried on very beautifully. And then in this Nimbarka Sampradaya, the mood of worship is of immense devotion to Radha and Krishna. So they mention that in this Nimbark Sampradaya, the mantra they chant is Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. So the worship is to Radha and Krishna, and they consider the love of the gopis to be the topmost devotion, and out of that, the love of Radha Rani for Krishna is the topmost. So they are also the similar mood. The only difference between them and our sampradaya is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned that in the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, when our mantra is Hare Krishna, so Radha Rani is present in separation. So Mahaprabhu mentions that the mood of love of Radha Rani for Krishna in separation is even higher than in union. This is the main difference in the two sampradayas. So that's why our sampradaya does not specifically mention the name of Radha in the mantra. It is Hara or Hari, the one who steals the heart of Lord Krishna and gives him pleasure that way. That is why it is called Hara, the one who steals the heart of the Lord. So then, coming down to the Sri Sampradaya. Now the Sri Sampradaya was propagated by Ramanujacharya, and I think he's the most known to us through the scriptures and through his pastimes. Now it is not sure if it is incidental, but it is interesting to know that all these sampradayas, the acharyas were actually, they were born and they lived in South India. This is Ramanujacharya was born to a Dravid Brahmin near Madras. So he also lived over there in a South Indian family. And he appeared in 1200 AD. And when he was born, his birth was so, it was so influential. It was so sensational at that time that Yamunacharya himself came to know that a very effulgent child had born. So he went there and he saw the features of the child, and he understood that he was not an ordinary child. And he actually felt that this boy had the features of Lord Ram's younger brother. So he called him Lakshmana. At that time, as a boy, his name was Lakshmana. And then when this Lakshmana was a young boy, he was engaged in serving the Lord. He had this natural mood of devotion towards Lord Vishnu. And then when he grew up a little, his parents got him married. Although he had no interest in married life, he just continued it. And then soon after, he went to this teacher of scriptures called Yadavacharya. He used to go to study from him. However, he used to find his interpretations of the scriptures very faulty. So he time and again he would correct Yadavacharya. And Yadavacharya in his heart knew that although Ramanujacharya is much younger, he is only a little boy, he can translate the scriptures so well. And he in his heart knew that this boy had pure bhakti in his heart, whereas the philosophy propagated by Yadavacharya was actually Mayavad. He was a mixed teacher of scriptures. So Yadavacharya in that sense developed envy for Ramanujacharya, and he decided, he made a plan to kill him. So he was so envious that he wanted to kill him. So he took him and another of his disciples through the forest to go and take bath in the river. And during the forest, then this other disciple actually warned Ramanujacharya that you please go away because Yadavacharya wants to kill you. So that is it's a very sweet pastime in which then, because he's still a young boy, so he runs away and he's running all the way through the forest till he's finally tired and he sits down. And there he sees that, and then he's wondering which way to go. He's lost in the forest. Fortunately for him, there is this hunter and his wife who are there, and they are, and then he follows them. He asks them for help. They said, okay, we will take you, don't worry. So they help him. And then because they were helping him, he offered to get water from them from the well. But the hunter said, no, I will get it. You stay here. So they really cared for him nicely. And then they kept walking. So he kept walking with them through the night and all along over the long path through the forest. Till finally they reached the spot where they all sat down and Ramanujacharya fell asleep. And when he woke up, he didn't feel asleep. He went to the hunter sent him to get some water from the well. So this time he got the opportunity to serve them, he thought. So he went to the well to fetch some water. But when he got back, the hunter and his wife, they were not there. So then he realized, so they are not there. So where is he now? And then he suddenly realizes that he is back in his hometown. So later on, it is mentioned that they were none other than Lakshmi Devi and Lord Narayan, who had come to protect him and save him from the dangers of the forest and lead him back to where he was. And then eventually he went to become a disciple of Yamunacharya, although unfortunately he never met Yamunacharya. When he was on his way, when Yamunacharya actually called for him and he was on his way to meet Yamunacharya, Yamunacharya left his body. But throughout his life, he preached the instructions of Yamunacharya and he followed the same Vedic principles of devotion that he was taught through the Sri Sampradaya. And he propagated the Sri Sampradaya. He was the main acharya who propagated the Sri Sampradaya far and wide. So both Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, who is also in the Brahma succession, they both actually had to rigorously propagate and preach against the Mayavad philosophy. Because during their times, Mayavad had become very prevalent. People were becoming atheists and they were becoming Mayavadis and they were denying the beautiful form of the Lord. So Ramanujacharya's main principle was pure bhakti. For the principles of bhakti that he followed were hearing, chanting and serving the Lord. He was in mood of great devotion to the Supreme Lord and also of serving the Vaishnavas. He was always in the mood of serving the devotees of the Lord and looking after them, caring for them. So just briefly about Madhvacharya, who is the leading personality who propagated the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, originating from Lord Brahma. So he also took his birth in the Udupi Kshetra, and that is his place. And he was born to Narayan Bhatt and Vedavati. The boy when he was born was named Vasudev. And even when he was small, when he was a small child, he could easily defeat Mayavad philosophers. He was only 12 years of age when he took sannyas from Achyuta Preksha. At 12 years of age, he had mastered all the scriptures. He had understood the conclusions of all the Vedanta sutras and he was able to take sannyas at that age. And after taking sannyas, he travelled far and wide to preach Vaishnavism. And it is mentioned that he then also had many disciples. So he travelled to Badri Narayan, Badri Ashram, Badri Kashram, and with his disciples. And there, while he was giving instructions, he also personally met Srila Vyasadev, who is known to eternally reside in Badri Kashram, in the hills of, which is today is called Badrinath. And it is mentioned that Srila Vyasadev, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, and which was actually written by Lord Ganesh. If you go to Badrinath, there is this place which is called the Vyasadev Gufa. There is a cave where Srila Vyasadev resided, and he had actually narrated the whole of Bhagavatam when it had to be written in the written form, and Lord Ganesha had actually put it down in writings for him. So therefore he is known to reside there eternally. And even Nar Narayan Rishi, the Lord, is residing in those hills. So although time separated, because Srila Vyasadeva actually happened to be many, many thousands of years ago, and whereas Madhvacharya is just more recent, yet due to his pure devotion and because of his intense meditation, he was able to see Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva personally gave him the authorized conclusion of all the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. So his personality was so great that he was able to get instructions from Srila Vyasadeva, who existed in thousands and thousands of years back in time, and yet he was able to see Srila Vyasadeva and get instructions from him. And then he also was able to take darshan of Lord Narayan, Nar Narayan, in the form of Lord Narayan. He was able to take darshan of the Lord over there. Now, in the Brahma Madhava Sampradaya, we also now have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has added a whole new aspect to bhakti, to devotion, by coming in this sampradaya. And he has, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took a few points from all the sampradayas and made the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya very, very potent in its conclusions and in its the bhajan pranali, in devotion to Krishna, in worship. And he took these different aspects from different sampradayas, all bona fide sampradayas. So from Sripad Ramanujacharya, his sampradaya, he took these two distinct principles of the following of path of pure bhakti. So the principle of Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, which is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it is a Paribhasha Sutra, which means the whole book is just mentioned on this principle. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, pure bhakti towards the Lord and nothing else, no jnana, no karma, just pure devotion. That was inculcated into our principles by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then serving the Vaishnavas. So which also, and we see how seriously Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions offenses to Vaishnavas and how harmful they can be to our devotion. So serving the Vaishnavas in a sense actually means that we have to be very careful in our dealings with the Vaishnavas and causing no offense to other Vaishnavas. So these two he took from Sripad Ramanujacharya's Sampradaya. Then from Vishnu Swami Acharya, from the Rudra Sampradaya, he took belief in total surrender in Krishna. So there was a belief that there should be total surrender in Krishna, which Mahaprabhu also inculcated, that we have to completely surrender to the Lord. And the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, you surrender unto me. Sarve dharmam paritachya, you completely give up all religions, all mental concoctions, just surrender to me and I will deliver you of all your sins. Lord Krishna himself guarantees. And this he also took from Vishnu Swami. Another aspect of this was the Raganuga Bhakti in Vrindavan. That was the mood of Vishnu Swami Acharya. So he also inculcated that into our Sampradaya. And then from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, which is the Sampradaya of the four Kumaras, he mentions that the position of the gopis is the most transcendental. Their service to the Supreme Lord is of the highest caliber. So we also understand how we also consider that Mahaprabhu mentions that gopis' love for the Lord is the best, is the purest. And out of those, the love of Srimati Radharani is the topmost. So these two principles he inculcated from the Sampradaya of the four Kumaras. And then Madhvacharya Sampradaya, which is where we are part of the Sampradaya. So refuting the Mayavad philosophy, because it is mentioned that if you hear from a Mayavadi, your bhajan is destroyed, your entire devotional service is destroyed. So that is what he strongly also emphasized on, that completely disdain or disregard for Mayavad philosophy, and also the emphasis on the deity form of the Lord, deity worship was emphasized. So Madhvacharya had to refute Mayavad philosophy and worship of the deity of the Lord. These two principles were inculcated from Madhvacharya Sampradaya into which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, and he completed the all aspects of bhakti he then inculcated in this way into our Sampradaya. And then the deity form of worship in itself is refuting the Mayavad philosophy. You see, because Mayavadis actually deny the beautiful form of the Lord. So if you deny the form of the Lord, then you're also denying the pastimes of the Lord. If there is no form, then there is no question of having any pastimes, no leelas of the Lord. You see, and if you're denying the form of the Lord, you're also denying the potency of His holy name, because how can nothing have a name? So if you're saying there is nothing, then there is no name for nothing. So in this way, by establishing strongly the principles of deity worship, Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have completely refuted the Mayavad philosophy and established the principles of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions that how deity worship in present day is very important for us. He says that it actually eradicates the desire, the material desires in the heart, especially the sensual desires in the heart. They go away if we engage in deity worship, cooking for the deities. So the tongue becomes subdued if you are actually cooking for the Lord, keeping in mind that you are not cooking for yourself, you're cooking for the pleasure of the Lord. In that way, slowly and slowly, your mind will, your tongue will become subdued, and you will be able to focus on just the pleasure of the Lord. Also, the dressing of the Lord. When we dress the deities, Prabhupada says, then the desire to dress ourselves nicely, to decorate ourselves, that goes away slowly and slowly, and we can focus more on how to decorate the Lord nicely, how to dress Him nicely. In this way, we are becoming purified by engaging in deity worship. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has mentioned that we must have respect for all the sampradayas. There is no question of which is superior or inferior. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has established this by putting the deities of all the four sampradayas, personalities, like in his matha in Mayapur. Some of you may have seen it also. He has the deities of Lakshmi Devi, of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and the four Kumaras. And he also has the Acharyas corresponding, like he has the deity of Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, and so on. So he has, in doing so, he has shown respect to all the Acharyas of all the four Sampradayas and indicated to us that if you meet somebody from another Sampradaya, you must show respect. You see, because it is the idea is that you must respect the all sampradayas. Eventually, they are all Vaishnava sampradayas, and they originate from Lord Krishna or Vishnu. So I will stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Prabhuji, would you like to add something?
I just want to ask a question. You said that Krishna is Krishna from the Vivaka Sampradaya. Hare Krishna is in separation, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand what in the Vivaka Sampradaya.
That is in union. Their mood of devotion is that. Yes, in the mood of that they are together, that Radha and Krishna are together. In that rasa, jugal rasa, that they are together, and in that togetherness, there is the supreme bliss, the ananda, the bliss. That is how they are chanting the name, that they are thinking Radha and Krishna are together, and we are thinking that Radha Rani has stolen the heart of Krishna, and she is in separation, and in that separation, she is able to give pleasure to Krishna. Whereas their sampradaya, they are thinking Radha and Krishna are together, and in that togetherness, there is the epitome of pleasure.
That is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he came to show us separation.
In separation, yes. Yeah. That is the mood of, he was in mood of separation.
The other one, is it Chandravani or is it still Radha Rani?
No, still Radha Rani, but they see Radha Rani as being with Krishna. They don't see her as away from Krishna and enjoying the intense mood of separation, but they see her with Krishna and enjoying the conjugal rasa together, the jugal jodi together. They see them in togetherness, and that's how the mantra is Radha Krishna. So Radha Rani is with Krishna in that mantra as well. Yes.
In the beginning of the class, you mentioned that Lord Rama had seven birth.
Yes.
So does it mean like every day, like every change of manu?
No, Prabhu. Even in this book, I'll tell you these essays that are written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. You know how such a great intellectual he is.
Yeah.
So if you read that book, what I have described to you is just 2%. I could only understand 2% of what's mentioned in the book. The rest is just such high technical detail that you really have to be an advanced devotee like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj himself to be able to understand. So even when I read that Lord Brahma had seven births and how that takes place and how in how many cycles in one day of Brahma and you know yuga cycles and how it happens in different, because they mentioned in Chakshusha birth and Navsattasya birth, and so this is I haven't done much research in that, but the point there was to ensure that, to make sure that these sampradayas actually started much, much before. They were inaugurated much, much before, but they manifested when there was a need for them to be present, so the leaders were sent at that time. But there is, we can find more details in those essays about the...
So you mentioned that also Nimbarkacharya, he actually didn't meet for Kumaras directly, but it came down to
his... Yes.
And you mentioned also Narada Muni in that.
Yes.
But then how is it that actually Nimbarkacharya is connected through Narada Muni to the Kumaras, but not to Lord Brahma?
Who's not connected?
Like Nimbarkacharya.
No, Nimbarkacharya is so... This hasn't... It's not direct connection. It is through that they're through different acharyas that they come to this succession.
Yeah, but I mean, like, because I was thinking... Because Brahma, Narada Muni's spiritual master is Lord Brahma.
So Narada Muni's spiritual master is Lord Brahma.
So then I was just thinking that everybody that Narada Muni instructed, and that they also will be connected to Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So why is it then that...
So it is, you see how in different manvantaras, in different yugas, things change. So there is a possibility that there is a difference there, which in... One case, he took instructions from the four Kumaras. It is mentioned that Narada Muni took instructions from four Kumaras. And another place, it is mentioned that he took instructions from directly from Lord Brahma, which we also see in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, that he actually took instructions. But it is mentioned that he takes instructions from Narada, from the four Kumaras, and then the Narada Muni, and then many other in the acharyas in succession, and then Nimbarkacharya takes initiation or... He's in the connected to the cyclic succession in that sense.
So why there was a need to take again this renewal of the instruction you took in a different yuga? Because when Narada Muni takes instruction from the Domkhan himself, then it is the ultimate instruction. So why there was a need to take another instruction from the Kumaras?
Because you see how in Maitreya Muni, because it's not the need, Prabhu. It is it depends on that yuga and how the Lord's pastimes have to manifest. You see, sometimes, I mean, I don't have any more detail on this yet because it was not mentioned there. Why through the four Kumaras and why not directly through Brahma? There was not much detail on that, but yes, it is mentioned that the four Kumaras then instructed Narada Muni, and in that succession, Nimbarkacharya was also instructed in that same succession.
Four Kumaras are actually the son of Brahma.
They are the sons of the four sons of Brahma. Yes.
So Narada Muni and the four Kumaras are the brothers.
In that sense, yes. Yes, in that sense, they are brothers. Yeah, and Lord Rudra also, he is the son of Lord Brahma. He's also in that sense the brother. They're all brothers in that sense.
Rudra Sampradaya is a different Sampradaya?
Yes, it is a different Sampradaya, but if you're talking about, they all came from Lord Brahma because he created, and then the four Kumaras were born, and then out of anger Lord Shiva was born, and then in this way, a lot of different...
Rudra means Shiva?
Yes. But Lord Shiva also has many forms, like there are 12 Rudras which are different, and there is Sadashiva, and there is Lord Shiva who resides in the Bhauma Swarga. So there are different, and there is one Sadashiva who resides in the spiritual realm. So Lord Shiva also has different aspects to it.
They are also one of them.
Yes.
And they belong to Vaishnava Sampradaya?
All Sampradayas are Vaishnava Sampradayas. None of them are non-Vaishnav. They're all Vaishnav Sampradaya, leading to worship of Krishna or Vishnu. However, over a period of time, they have become polluted, contaminated with different mental concoctions and different kinds of thinking that has, impersonalist thinking that has crept into the actual value. You wanted to say something?
Reading
in
the class,
you
mentioned, you had a reference from the Bhagavad Purana, that these four prominent acharyas, they started or something like in that mind, and from Utkal?
Utkal.
You have some reference or something? Or do you have to know what's
Yes, it is mentioned in Padma Purana, and it's mentioned that in Utkal, is the word Utkal is mentioned, which is the Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri of present day. So what is what it means is that they all started their movements there. The mathas that they established were first established in Jagannath Puri, and from there on, then they had they wrote their books and they established the Siddhanta, and then they spread throughout the whole of Bharatvarsha. They all originated in Jagannath Puri. That's what it means. Yes, Prabhu.
This Madhurashtakam we talk about, Adharam Madhuram, that is more of a youthful form of Krishna's description, not so much a baby Krishna. Is that right?
No, it is mentioned that this is the baby. And Krishna, I mean, when he's 7-8 years old, or when he's around that age.
Not
Laddu Gopal, but I mean Laddu Gopal is a worship that eventually started to become popular in different parts of India as a result of his preachings. Then the Lord started to worship Krishna in his baby form. But then childhood pastimes and Krishna's babyhood pastimes, I don't think it's even if Adharam Madhuram was for a baby, when Krishna was a baby, it's wonderful.
Could it look like more of a youthful form of Krishna?
Okay. Anything else? Yes,
Rabbi. How we celebrate all the parents' day, when we have a special day for all the Jari experience, like original guru.
Say again?
So, we're coming from Brahma Madhava.
Sampradaya, yes.
And Brahma is the original guru, right?
Yes.
There is no any special day.
The appearance day of Lord Brahma. Yes, we should. I mean, it's. See, they are divine personalities. They. Like, it is mentioned that the material world is eternal and factual. He will keep coming again and again. So, is there any idea? Does anybody know when he was actually born? What is the actual day and time? And. Because you see, we are living, he lives for thousands of years, and we have a very short lifespan. So in terms of the earthly years, we can't measure his birth and we can't measure his lifespan. So it's hard to translate, because the Lord's day of Brahma is much, much bigger than our day. Yes.
The four sampradayas, there was, I just heard one lecture by the Vaishnava Chakra, thank you. This is 1936, they had the four Acharya province, they had a discussion to establish which of the four the principles or Siddhanta or the better others. So they were having this debate amongst, they all got together. And there was a saintly personality in Gaudiya Sampradaya, very elderly, very learned. What is his name? And all these the gatherings, they decided to go to this personality and get the conclusion. So who is better than one, better than other? So they went and they paid respect to this great saintly person who speaking well. And they put this question to this saintly person. He said, who of all our four sampradaya, the Siddhanta or the worship or the mean, which is better in your, because you have learned it, you have done so. This saintly personality thought about and meditated for some time. And he requested to get it. And he said, please bring me a cow, which is in black color. And he was just given a birth, just 10-15 days earlier, and bring it to me. Then they followed the instruction. They followed this instruction and they brought a cow over to them, over to him. And he said, okay, now you are from four sampradaya, you pick a prominent person from each group, and then each of you milk the cow from each
others of the cow.
Others. Milk the cow, so four of you. And then then they follow the instruction. Okay, then he asked a question back to so which milk is best? So that he made this point to say, yes, there's no difference. And there's no, it's ultimately, you know, slightly different time, place, and circumstances, the preaching or the message is slightly given differently. But in essence, there is no difference in what the different acharyas have given in principle. It's to worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna.
Just to repeat what was mentioned by Sukadev Prabhu, that once there was this this debate between four people, and they wanted to find out which sampradaya is better than the others, and then they go to this saintly person who asks them to bring a cow who's just given birth to a calf. So they bring the cow, and then he says, okay, now all of you milk this cow. So they all start milking the cow, and then he asks them whose milk is better. So in this, in doing so, he was trying to make a point that it is eventually all coming from the Supreme Lord. So they are all the same. The sampradayas are all of them are equally divine. I think we'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanandi.